This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Salams in the chat. Let us know that you can see us and hear us, inshallah, as we kick off for today. But of course, I see, mashallah, like 200 something plus of you are already on here on Zoom. So jazakallah khair to those who have come through on Zoom. It's such a pleasure to be with you. Okay, so it looks like we are live across a lot of platforms, inshallah. So hopefully we are set and good to go. I can't wait. There's so many things I want to say, especially for the first day. It feels like we have to catch up after a year of not seeing each other. I know many of you have been across the Maghrib world and attending our classes and engaging on our platforms. May Allah reward you for it. And hopefully you've been benefiting from a lot of the Maghrib experiences that we've been hosting this past year. Just a quick little snapshot, if you've missed out or if you've not been with us, Alhamdulillah, Maghrib has been super, super busy. We've been hosting classes consistently, basically on a weekly, monthly basis on a Maghrib online. Those are on demand, easy to access classes that are available on your own schedule. We've been doing live classes through a Maghrib virtual live, where we've had instructors, on the spot attending with students, teaching us across the weekends and across the evenings and the weekdays as well. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Abu Isa, Sheikh Salman Hani, and so many others, mashallah, have been with us over the course of the year. We've had Faith Essentials, have many, many courses launching on our Faith Essentials platform, which has concise, easy to understand courses available for you, again, on demand. And we've had Quran Revolution, Ilm Spring for children, so many projects across the Maghrib world. Inshallah, we'll give you sneak peeks into some of them so that you guys can also benefit outside of Ramadan. But you guys are here for Ramadan 360, which is our famous yearly program. Every single year, we come back with live sessions every day from about 5 p.m. EST to about 6:30, 7 p.m. EST, as well as bonus sessions such as fatwa nights and Q&As and webinars and all that lovely stuff. Ramadan Mubarak to you all. I should have said that first. Jazakallah khair to everyone who is sending their salutations and their greetings in the chat. It is so lovely to be back with the community and to be able to connect with you guys once again this Ramadan. And today we are kicking off with our first ever session. First, we're starting off with Sheikh Salman Hani, who is our Director of Academic Affairs at Al-Maghrib. He's the man behind a lot of the magic that happens with our courses, our classes, our exams, and all the concepts that make Al-Maghrib, alhamdulillah, what it is. And he is going to be covering the topic today. Oh, and I lost the topic today. No, I know. I know it. It's one man, three messengers for Ramadan 360 is going to be our first lesson, inshallah. And we're going to be followed by Sheikh Saad Taslim, who's going to do our famous Quran reflection sessions, where you guys get a chance to interact and to turn on your cameras and to engage and to actually speak as well during this experience. For those who are watching us on Facebook, YouTube, everywhere across the world, please make sure that you do take a second to actually register for the experience at Ramadan360.org so that you can get some of these extra benefits and access to the Insider Member Portal, the Telegram group, the Q&A links, all that fun stuff, the Zoom link, and that you can have the full experience with us, inshallah. And if you haven't had a chance to, make sure that you do share this across your WhatsApp groups, your Telegram groups, your Facebook groups, and everywhere else so that others can benefit and you can share in their reward as well. I think I've taken a lot of your time. I just want to say one last thing before I pass it off to the Sheikh, and that is a great big thank you to some of the people that make this possible, that partner with us every year to make this experience able to be presented to you guys. We have our charity partners, and a special shout out to them from the UK. We have Forgotten Women in the UK. We have Helping Hands in the USA, and in Canada, we have Islamic Relief. Their links are in the bio if you're watching on social medias, and they'll be dropped into the chat on Zoom as well, so that everyone who is part of this community can also support them. And please continue to do so throughout this month. Alrighty, let's jump in, if that wasn't long enough. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Salman Hani. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah. How are you all doing?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We're doing well. I can see the chat is buzzed. We're ready to go to kick off Ramadan 360. So I'm going to pass it to you to start off our first session. No pressure, Sheikh. Bismillah.
Jazakumullah khairan. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to all of you. Alhamdulillah, we already hit about 350 just over here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all from all around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status and accept from you Ramadan Mubarak from the Al-Maghrib family. SubhanAllah, somebody mentioned in the chat, may Allah bless you. You mentioned this is the third time you're attending this series. Same for me, and I hope the same for everyone else. This is one of the silver linings and the mercies from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came with the pandemic, in that you have access to programs like this, and that we are able to connect, alhamdulillah, from all around the world. Look at our diversity, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us throughout this month of Ramadan and forgive our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who benefit from what we hear. Allahumma ameen. We have a really, really, really important program this Ramadan. And in fact, before I even get into the story that you're seeing for the day, one man and three prophets, or one man and three messengers, I actually want to delve into an introduction that will help give and set the framework for the rest of this course, inshallah ta'ala. The reason this course is so important today is because we are looking at essentially people who are not named explicitly in the passages that we will cover, inshallah. And we're living in the times in which I think you and I would agree that a lot of people are looking to be named. A lot of people are looking to be referenced. A lot of people are looking for fame. A lot of people are looking to be elevated in worldly status, to be given recognition, to be seen a certain way, to be accepted as cool, to be validated by others. A lot of people are looking to pursue influencer status, to become influencers. And of course, we know and we've seen that many people will compromise on their religious principles, on Islam, in order to reach that status of recognition or fame amongst people. Some will gain fame by compromising religion. Some will gain fame by making fun of others, mocking others, so-called killing the competition that they see, even if that person or that organization or that individual is actually righteous or more truthful or better in the sight of Allah. Some people will seek fame in worldly things, material things, wealth, the things that they have. Some people will wear certain clothes so that they are seen a certain way in terms of brand names and prestige and recognition and validation. And some people at the very core simply want to be referenced by as many human beings as possible. While others are unknown, ignored by society, and yet beloved and referenced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels. I want you to think about, here's an example. Some of the greatest scholars in history, like Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Who taught Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, for example, Surah al-Fatiha? Yes, you may assume perhaps his mother. He was raised by a single mother. May Allah bless her. How many people on this call, on this, live stream, know the name of Imam al-Bukhari's mother? For example, the reason I ask this is because if you think about the many individuals we referenced all the time, oftentimes what we overlook is all of the surrounding environment in terms of the factors, the people who helped. They're not known, they're not credited, they're not given that recognition, they're not mentioned in the same way, and yet they are receiving rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that we cannot imagine in terms of what they have. How about the prophets and the messengers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us as well, وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصُمْ عَلَيْكَ, and prophets or messengers, we did not tell you about. Their stories you do not know. So there are so many prophets and messengers who are unknown to us. Does that take away anything from their status in the sight of Allah? Absolutely not. In fact, listen to this. One time, a man passed by the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked those who were next to him, the companions, what do you think about this man? They said, if he asks for a woman's hand in marriage and he wants to blah, 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 if he asks, he'll be given what he wants. And if he intercedes, they'll accept from him. If he speaks, he'll be listened to. In other words, this is a good man. He's cool. He's accepted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. And then a man from amongst the poor Muslims passed by, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what do you think about this man? They said, if he asks for a lady's hand in marriage, he wouldn't deserve to be married. And if he intercedes, his intercession should not be accepted. And if he speaks, he should not be listened to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this man, the poor man, is better than the first, even if the first filled the entire earth, meaning he is better than an entire earth full of the first man. هذا خير من ملء الأرض مثل هذا. He's better than the first, even if he filled the entire earth in terms of how many there are. What does that mean? It's not about how people perceive you. The people of wisdom seek that which is better and higher, not that which is lower, not that which is superficial, not that which disappears as soon as you die and does not follow you to the next life. The believers strive to be mentioned by Allah. The believers strive without caring at all if they are known amongst the people of the earth, do not be concerned with how many people knew you before you died. So long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned your name to the angels, so long as the angels echoed your name throughout the heavens, that's your concern. Do not be concerned by seeking a certain value or concept that you think will help you with self-esteem or self-worth that's linked to other human beings. Be concerned with the value that Allah gave you. Allah created you. Allah guided you. You are valuable to Him. What other value would you seek? The people of dhikr, the people who study the Quran, the people who remember Allah, the people who talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messengers and the next life, they're mentioned in a greater gathering. And brothers and sisters, glad tidings to you all. Glad tidings to everyone who is utilizing their time, not just in Ramadan, but throughout the year, to study the stories of the Quran, to study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the angels surround gatherings like this. And although we are in a virtual gathering, we are optimistic that the angels now are surrounding every one of us in our homes all around the world, wherever you are. And they have basically their wings covering these gatherings, or their wings ascending. The tranquility of Allah descends, and the forgiveness as well. And your name is mentioned in a greater gathering. What more do you want? Your name is referenced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the angels. What more do you want? This course about the unnamed in the Quran is a course that I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help all of us and guide us and recalibrate us to the things that truly matter, not the things that people are pursuing around the world. Because at the end of the day, even if all human beings ignored you and you were never mentioned at all while you lived on earth and you died in that state and the history books never recorded your name, wallahi, it would not matter in terms of real success and real value. Success is to have a good standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the famous companion, in one of the battles, they came to him and they said, so-and-so was killed. They mentioned some names. Fulan was killed and Fulan was killed. And then they said, as well as so many people, we don't know. لا نعرفهم. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, in one of the reports, said he started to cry, he started to tear up. He said, and I don't know them. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَعْلَمُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows them. I don't know them. They died as shuhada. Allah knows them. Your name does not have to be mentioned in the books of history. That's not what we pursue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that kind of fitna, especially during our times, especially with technology that facilitates this for so many people. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah loves a servant who is pious, self-sufficient, and unnoticed. Al-Khafi, they're not trying to be known by the people. They're not looking to show off. Imam Ahmad was one of the most famous scholars in history. You guys know Imam Ahmad rahimahullah in terms of his status, one of the greatest scholars in history. He gave an advice to another scholar. He said, tell him, قُلْ لِعَبْدِ الْوَهَابِ, tell him, hide yourself, become obscure or hidden, for I have been tested. I have been given a test with fame. He didn't want it. Now, that's not a sign of something wrong, that a scholar or someone righteous was given fame. It does not mean they're looking for fame. In fact, it is a test for them. It's an accountability. It's just like if you are tested with wealth, you're not seeking it necessarily to become the richest person on earth, but it came to you, like Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. He used it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a test. It is a fitna. Studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause your name to be mentioned in the heavens. And there's nothing greater than that. What we want to cover, inshallah ta'ala, today will help us set the foundation as you delve into all of these stories for the next 29 days, inshallah ta'ala, to recognize at the end of the day, what matters is not the number of people following you on social media or liking you or knowing you in this world, but rather the number of deeds that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's work. Let's work. Let's accumulate as much as we can. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Let the competitors compete. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, protect us, and bless us. Say ameen. Allahumma ameen. What are we covering today? Our story is about one man and three prophets. One man and three prophets. The verses are from Surah Yasin, verses 13 to 27. For those who know, you have access to the binder with this course. You can also just go to Quran.com and follow along, inshallah ta'ala. I'm going to quickly summarize the introduction of the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the example of a qariya The Prophet is given an example about the residents of a qarya, a town. إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ Messengers came to them. Allah does not tell us which town it is. Does not need to be mentioned here. If it was important, Allah would have told us about it. If it was important for us to know, Allah would have told us about it. This is a response as well to those who, for example, say, you know the dog that's mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf? What was the name of that dog? What color was the dog? Tell me some details about the dog. It doesn't matter. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to know, you would know about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ وَثْنَيْنِ We sent them two messengers. But they rejected them. فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ So a third prophet or third messenger was sent to reinforce the first two. فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ We are messengers to you. And those people rejected them. They said, you're human beings just like us. You are lying. They rejected the three messengers that came to them. The prophet said, Allah knows, our Lord knows that we have been truly sent to you. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ All we are required to do is deliver the message to you. What did they do? They said, if you don't stop, we are going to stone you to death and you're going to experience a painful punishment. Again, these are verses 13 to 27 in Surah Yasin. Now, these people are threatening to torture and to beat and to basically hurt and then kill the three messengers. What's going on? You're going to kill three messengers? What does that say about the state of these people? How evil they are in terms of their transgression. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ They are transgressing. Here is where the story for us begins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ
From the farthest end of the city, a man came rushing. And he said, oh, my people, follow the messengers. اتبعوا المرسلين, obey them, follow them. The surah, or the passage rather, began with a qariya. Now it's addressing a Medina. It's possible that this wasn't even the same town, but rather the city right next to it, meaning their message was spreading. This man came from the next town over, perhaps, or from the outskirts, from Aqsa, from the outskirts, and came to them. And I want to ask a question here. Let's see who can give us a really good answer, inshallah ta'ala. In fact, if someone can give us a really good answer for this, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll go ahead and maybe do like a spin the wheel if we can, inshallah. Is that something we can do? Excellent. Here's my question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that this man was yas'a, rushing? What is the benefit for us in knowing that? Let's get a very comprehensive answer. Not that quick one word response. Something very solid. This man was rushing. Okay, he wasn't calm. This is true. We should rush to good. Absolutely. He was eager. Eager to help the prophets, keen to share, spread the message, rush to Allah. Excellent. So many good responses, mashallah. Before time is up and the people are held accountable. Wonderful response, mashallah. It's full of conviction. It was very urgent. Their punishment was close. So what we have here, what we're seeing with all your responses are great reflections that we can add in one place, inshallah. For example, somebody go ahead and plug in QuranReflect.com, go to this ayah, share all of these reflections, inshallah ta'ala. And then you got to vet them, make sure they're accurate and correct. Excellent responses. I want you all to look at the responses that we're seeing from all of you, mashallah. May Allah bless you all. When we have, alhamdulillah, over 400 people live together experiencing this, experiencing the Quran and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're able all to engage together, alhamdulillah. The man was rushing to stop an evil. So yes, there is a sense of urgency. The man was rushing to stop an evil. So there was a great sense of urgency, right? Some of you mentioned it was urgent, rushing to help people, rushing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was eager in spreading the message. There's a sense of urgency because there are three messengers who are about to be killed. And the man recognizes the importance of that. Now, that means the man is a believer. This is the story of the believing man from Surah Yasin, from the qariya that's mentioned in Surah Yasin. You kind of all piece together the right answers together. I didn't see just one particular first answer. So Sister Hafsa, you're going to have to make a call on this in terms of spin the wheel, or I'll have to ask another question that's a little more difficult, inshallah ta'ala.
I think you'll have to ask another question that's a bit more difficult, Shaykh, but just to make it fair.
Khair, inshallah. First of all, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Great responses, accurate. Let's keep going, inshallah ta'ala. So I want you to think of the example of a car on fire. About 2 months ago, I was at an event here in Michigan. And as I was with a beloved friend, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, Sheikh Majid, we got to the venue after the main venue. There was another program afterwards. And there was a car on fire in the parking lot. The engine was smoking at first, and then a fire started. And the sad thing is there were some people right next to the car filming it. They were standing right next to the car filming it, not realizing that it's possible for the engine to explode. And Sheikh Majid, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, I don't think he even knows I'm sharing this story. He started yelling and screaming, get away from the car, get away from the car. We were worried, what if the car exploded? And those people who are right next to it, old and young, unfortunately, recording as though it's, you know, another Instagram reel or TikTok or something else. Allahu musta'an, may Allah protect us all. And there's a sense of urgency because if you don't say anything, it's possible that those people will be placed in some harm. What happened? We think about this man who rushed, and I want you to think about you rushing to stop evil and you rushing towards good in your life. You're rushing to do good in your life. How quickly do you rush to do acts of worship versus how quickly are you to fall into sin? The devil would like to place barriers between you and acts of worship. Make it slow. Take your time. Think about it 100 times before you do that act of worship, before you give that charity, before you pray the nawafid, before you recite Quran, before you do what's good. But when it comes to sinfulness, the devil wants you to rush and wants you to be quick, not lazy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. This man was very sincere. He was so sincere, he rushed from a far part of the city, min aqsa al-Madinah, meaning from the farthest part of the city. And there's a reminder here, no matter where you are, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for you to be helped or assisted or aided in your mission, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid you in ways you don't imagine or expect, even if it means someone coming from the farthest part of the town. You preach the truth, you do what's right, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate and take care of the results. You don't worry about that. Furthermore, here's another lesson. During those times, the people who lived in the city center were the elites, the rich. If you lived on the outskirts, it meant you were poor. So a poor person, here's another point, came from the farthest part of the outskirts of the city to protect three messengers from being killed. You don't worry about long distances when you're giving dawah or you're doing what's right or you're volunteering for a good cause. You be sincere, you be efficient, you be wise, you work hard, and you leave the results to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who carries the mission of da'wah is not worried about those long distances. In fact, there are tens of thousands of Muslims who learned about Islam, they embraced Islam in their villages in many countries today because Muslims would travel their long distances to give them da'wah. There was no comfort, no five-star hotels, no hotels to check into at all, no honorariums, none of that. They flew, they traveled, they went through villages, they went through some of the greatest difficulties to make sure that the message was delivered. Here's a question. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, min aqsa, from the farthest parts of the city, before he mentions the man? وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلِ Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention from the outskirts of the city before he mentioned rajul? What is a benefit from that? What is a benefit from the mentioning of the outskirts of the city before the mentioning of the man? Jazakumullah khairan. So the emphasis is on the effort that was made to show the distance the man took. Excellent. Jazakumullah khairan. So the first response is the accurate response, as well as, mashallah, some of the follow-ups as well. The emphasis here is on the act itself, the action, rather than the man. So the story here, yes, we are talking about one man and three messengers, but the emphasis is on the effort itself. I think the first person to respond with this is, I don't see a last name, but just a Sister Zainab. We can just spin the wheel for Sister Zainab, inshallah.
Alrighty, bismillah, that's our first spin the wheel for Ramadan 360. So I'm just going to pull up, for those of you who are not familiar, Spin the Wheel is something that we like to do in Al Maghrib virtual classes and in Ramadan 360. It's a way for you guys to win Al Maghrib prizes and a couple little extras. There are some little gag gifts thrown in there just to throw you off so that it's kind of fair. And alhamdulillah, there's some really exciting classes up on there. So let me just quickly share my little wheel and we will spin for Zainab. Zainab, make a quick da'a for what you would like to see. I won't show you everything, but basically there's some really exciting classes on there. The Big Picture Online with Sheikh Omar Suleiman. We have a $10 Amazon gift card. We have a Mindful Salah with Sheikh Omar Shukri. We have Transformed Online with the Sada Yasmin Mujahid. We have Faith Essentials. I think that's the big one. The big monies is Faith Essentials 1 year subscription that is for $140. And then there's some in-betweens, a pat on the back. There's a dua from the Sheikh. There's the admiration of your peers. So we like to keep it fun. So let's see, Zainab, what you win. Bismillah. I'm going to do the spin now. Everyone make dua as well that Zainab wins. I guess the Faith Essentials because that's the big one. And let's go. Most stressful part. Bismillah, bismillah. There you are. Congratulations, Zainab. You won Protect This House Online with Sheikh Abu Isa, one of our most intense and beneficial courses on the Islamic rules around the family. Inshallah, please drop me your email in the chat and we will hook you up with that prize. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I'll pass it back to you.
Jazakallah khair. We got to change that cheesy sound, though, at the very end. But no, I'm kidding. Jazakallah khair. Excellent. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and accept from you. Allahumma ameen. Let's keep going with the story, inshallah ta'ala. There is no need for a name to be referenced here or even a nickname for this man. We don't know his name, and there's nobody who'll tell you they know his name with any certainty whatsoever. The truthful believer is calling others to that which is good, and they are not focusing on their brand. They are not focusing on fame. They're not focusing on recognition or my group or your group, but rather focusing on what? The messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Focus on the messenger. Focus on the messenger. Ittabi'u al-mursaleen. He said, obey, follow the messengers. Three messengers in one place. Three messengers in one place. And yet this man found a position with them to facilitate the truth. He is not a prophet. He is not a messenger. Don't tell yourself, I'm not a scholar. I don't have the knowledge to do something good. I'm not at that status. I'm not at that level. Yes, of course, you want to be confident in what you're doing. You want to be qualified. That man was sincere. That man was not a prophet. And yet, think about this gem. Surah Yasin, in this passage we are covering, one man and three messengers, and the entirety of the story is focused on the efforts of the one man. The rest of the story, in fact, we have so many details about this one man that they are greater in number than the references to the three messengers as well. We don't even know who these three messengers are. They are not mentioned explicitly by name in the Quran. And that's why the story here really is about this one man in terms of his efforts. Brothers and sisters, every step you take to revive something good in this ummah is one step that is added to a timeless history, even if your name is not mentioned. This man does not want anything from them. He has no personal agenda. He doesn't say, follow me, imitate me, copy me, my name is this, my name is that. Doesn't even present anything. No, follow the messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have decreed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have decreed for his messengers to be saved in any other way. But it was facilitated through the sincere efforts of this one man who wanted to do something good and saw an opportunity. So remember this, the steps of the sincere believers are never forgotten. The steps of the sincere believers are never forgotten. The steps of the sincere believers are never forgotten. Your reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man gained success and victory with this magnificent act of worship, and we don't know his name. What happens next? He says to them, follow the messengers. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسَلْكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Follow those who are not asking any reward from you, and they are rightly guided. And then he gives them some reasons, and these are reasons in terms of da'wah, how to give da'wah to different audiences. For his audience, this is what he found to be wisest. And so he said to them, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Why should I not worship the one who has originated me and to whom you shall all be returned? He's talking about himself. There's a da'wah etiquette here. He's talking about something, yes, logical and something of reasoning. Allah brought me into existence. Allah created me. Allah blessed me. He gave me this life and all the blessings that I have with it. He gave me this test and a promise of eternal reward. He gave me the ability to repent sincerely when I sin. How can I not then turn to Him? And how can I not call you to worship Him? And then he gave some examples. He talked about some things. If I were to go astray, if I were to commit shirk, إِنِّي إِذَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ. If I were to do the wrong thing and commit shirk, that's what they're doing. Pay attention. If I were to do the wrong thing and commit shirk, pay attention. He's talking about them, but he's talking about himself. Then I would be astray. إِنِّي إِذَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Notice his da'wah strategy here. إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ. I do believe in your Lord, so listen to me. There's a lot of wisdom in what this man did. He came from the outskirts of the city. He saw that three messengers were about to be killed, and he tried to defend them. He tried to distract. He gave da'wah, follow the messengers. Allah created me. If I were to commit shirk, then I would be astray. I also believe in the same Lord, meaning the Creator. So listen to what I'm saying. What is his da'wah strategy? Rather than saying, you are foolish for worshiping idols that cannot hear or see, and they did not even create themselves, rather than talking directly about what they're doing, he said, if I were to do that, I would be astray. He's very wise. He's trying to de-escalate the situation here. He's not being very aggressive in terms of what he's saying. He's giving da'wah in a way that is suitable for that audience. He's not saying, how can you be so foolish? How can you be so dumb to worship an idol? No, he's saying, it doesn't make sense for me to worship an idol. Allah is the one who created me. And I also believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens next? Brothers and sisters, this is remarkable. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The next ayah. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. That's it. They killed him. They were about to kill the three messengers. And they saw a man come here and give them da'wah, try to stop the killing of the three messengers. And the very next ayah, it's as though we fast forwarded instantly. He's being told, enter Jannah. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. And then he says, if only my people knew, بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. If only my people knew of what my Lord or how my Lord has forgiven me and made me one of the honorable, meaning entering paradise. Brothers and sisters, how did we go suddenly from a man preaching to his people to the man entering paradise? What happens here? Pay attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, in other words, they killed this man. Indirectly, we're inferring, and this is what the Mufassirun have said over the years. Essentially, there was a brutal mob death, right? So they killed this man because he is one of them, and they're thinking we can get away with it. They didn't kill the three messengers, even though they were about to, they were ready to. They redirected that towards this one man. Now, this is also being revealed in Mecca, or rather for the benefit of Quraysh, we should say, to be more specific, so that when they hear this, they're not thinking, how did this man get killed and then get ideas about what to do? They're not getting ideas. No, they're being given something very general and very brief. The man entered Jannah. So yes, there's an understanding here, and this is part of the eloquence. There's an understanding here that this man was admitted to paradise because he was killed by them. Pay attention to this. These three messengers were in a terrible situation, facing an impending death. They were the ones who needed physically to be saved in terms of their lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had this man come from a local place, meaning the people that they recognized from the outskirts of the city, and they diverted their anger towards this man. And so when he basically defends himself, he's saying, why shouldn't I worship Allah? Allah created me. We shouldn't worship idols, and so on and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the three messengers and made this man a martyr, a shaheed. And instantaneously he is told, enter Jannah. Why? Because he is a martyr. Of course, we know that the martyrs, in terms of their souls, enter paradise before the day of judgment, and then they are resurrected later on with everyone else. They enter paradise before the day of judgment. In fact, they are amongst the green birds which roam about paradise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, when did this story take place? There is nothing clear cut or explicit. If you look at all of the different tafsir, there are opinions here and there, nothing that we can claim with certainty from the Quran or from authentic ahadith. However, as many scholars said, This was likely before the time of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, before Prophet Jesus, before Isa alayhi salam. And these three messengers are messengers. It does not say they are disciples or anything else. So that's put to the side in terms of some of the opinions that were stated. As Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, this is likely to be before Prophet Isa alayhi salam. One man made into a martyr enters paradise. And I want you to think about what happens next. What is he saying right now? He's saying, if only my people knew. Think about this. They killed him and he's worried still about his people. And that shows you the level of sincerity and love and empathy and compassion and sympathy that he has for his people who are misguided. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, this was a man who was sincere to his people alive and dead. He was sincere in them being guided even when they killed him. He was not filled with rage and hatred because they killed him. And so for those Muslims who may think that the concept of al-wala and bara, the concept of basically loyalty, is that you should hate people who are not Muslim, that's not what Islam is about. You should care for them to become guided. You should want for them to be guided. You should want for them to enter paradise. We should be in a state in which we are thinking that as I desire to remain guided and as I desire paradise, you should desire that for everyone else. And that's exactly what the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. He used to preach to people even when they harmed him, even when they oppressed him, even when they abused him and the Muslim community. He wanted them to be guided. They threw rocks at him. He bled sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he could have had them destroyed the angels of the mountains. He didn't want that. Out of his mercy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wanted them to be guided. Perhaps one day somebody from this city or this town will be guided. Do we have sincerity towards other people in wanting them to be guided to Islam? Are our hearts full of sympathy in wanting others to be guided to Islam? Or do we instantly and quickly neglect and cross off people and cancel people and say, you know what, they're evil, they're bad? Yeah, well, there were many people who are evil and bad who became good, they became guided. You put in your effort. That man forgave murder, his own murder. What about us? What are we willing to forgive? What are we willing to forgive as we started this blessed month of forgiveness, seeking forgiveness from Allah for all the things that we've done? What are we willing to forgive so that other people are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that other people are changing for the better. So that other people are guided as well. This man has an extensive mercy in his heart and he wants others to succeed, and that is one of the blessings that he benefited from in the next life as well. And yet we don't know his name. A man who gained success and victory with a magnificent act of worship, and it seems very minor, he came to defend the three messengers, and we don't know his name. The man has a high status with Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the reference to this man a reference that's included in a recitation that is timeless and eternal. And yet we do not know his name. The man gained success. The man gained victory by inspiring billions of Muslims until the end of times, young and old, from all walks of life, to recite his story. And yet we don't know his name. Be sincere with Allah. Be sincere in calling others to truth, to what is correct, what is beneficial, for their success and victory within it, even if people don't know your name. Seek to be mentioned by Allah, and that your name is echoed throughout the heavens, repeated by many angels. Seek to be referenced by Allah, and for your name to be called out by the angels, for the creation of Allah to pray for you in their own languages in ways we don't understand, because that is greater and that is eternal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate our status and grant us sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the people who are constantly referencing him and making dhikr and studying the Quran so that our names are mentioned in the heavens until the day that we depart. You are going to hear for the rest of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, in this course with many jam-packed stories, a lot of different references to people who are not explicitly mentioned by name. Sometimes their names are mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of the stories that you'll experience, inshallah ta'ala, in this course are stories of people who are righteous, and others, names and references to even people who are evil. And we learn lessons from those stories as well. At the end of the day, they are important because they are part of the Quran. And that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, wanted us with this immortalized recitation until the end of times. to experience and to learn from these stories. Remember, 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 at the end of the day, there are people who are famous on earth, unknown in the heavens, and there are people who are unknown on earth, famous in the heavens. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us fame in the heavens and grant us sincerity and humility on earth until the day that we depart. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us throughout this month and throughout the year. Allahumma ameen wa salli lahum ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. What a beautiful start to our programming this month. And I cannot wait now. I'm so eager to learn the other stories of the unnamed in the Quran over the course of Ramadan 360. This was our first session, alhamdulillah, in the program. Thank you to so many of you who've been interacting, who've been submitting such great responses in the chat. And of course, congratulations to our winner of the Spin the Wheel. We are now going to be moving on to our second segment in just a second. And Sheikh Sulaiman Hani, inshallah, is going to be back with us throughout the month. So this is not the last time, inshallah, that you see him. He has some other exciting topics to add into the Ramadan 360 experience, as well as some exciting webinars and events we'll be having with Al-Maghrib. Jazakallah khair for being with us, Sheikh. Inshallah, we will see you back very soon. May Allah put barakah in your ibadah, your time, and your efforts this Ramadan. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jumping into our second segment, this is one of my other amazing favorite parts of Ramadan 360, and this is, for those who remember from last year, our Quran reflection circles with Sheikh Saad Tasleem. Alhamdulillah, this was such a heartwarming part of our experience the last time, because we got a chance to hear from you guys. You got a chance to listen to the Sheikh. He's going to be doing a session, a lecture for about 15-ish minutes, inshallah, taking us on a journey around some of the ayahs in Juz 1 and 2, as you guys are listening to them and hearing them in Tarawih over the past last night and this night as well, inshallah. They will be covered, inshallah, today in our Quran reflection circles. But before we jump into that, there's some important reminders for us to jump into. In the meantime, I'll let you guys get comfortable and get ready to be on camera and to be on screen. You guys remember, this is a very interactive experience. And I see, mashallah, 400 something of us online here on Zoom, and so many on Facebook and YouTube who are watching. So it would be lovely to see your faces with us on screen, inshallah. Also, something that we do for all of our virtual experiences is that we like to see where people are coming in from. Obviously, you guys get a chance to do that in the chat and to introduce yourselves, but it's easy to forget, and mashallah, with such a large audience, even more so. So please take a second and just do a favor for me. Go over to where it says participants on Zoom. Click on that and it will show you a list of the names that are in the session. Click right next to your name and rename yourself with your location. So some people have already done that. You'll see Dr. Gina is coming in from the USA. Syrah is coming in from Germany. Anissa is coming in from London. Suhaila is coming in from Kuala Lumpur, mashallah. So a lot of people who are part of our OG Al Maghrib crowd are used to this. Khadija from Pennsylvania, Raghib from Florida, Osama from Ottawa. If everyone else can also take a second to do so, to edit their names and also to jump on screen with us, that will be amazing as we start off our Quran reflect sessions with Sheikh Saad. I see that Sheikh Saad is in the session as well, alhamdulillah. So we're going to be starting very shortly. Just a couple of quick reminders before we do, because for those who might have to step away, I know it's a little late in the UK and other parts of the world. I want to make sure that you guys don't miss out, because there is some exciting stuff happening tomorrow. So number one, we have Sheikh Waleed Basyuni coming tomorrow at 4 p.m. EST to do a fatwa night. This is a popular part of our programming, because a lot of you have questions coming into the month of Ramadan. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's, you know, the specifics of what you may be messing up, or you're not sure about this fiqh, about this aspect of your worship, and you want to make sure you get it right, because it's so important during this holy month. We want to make sure that you guys get a chance to ask your questions to the Shaykh directly. So tomorrow at 4 p.m. EST, inshallah, we will have Sheikh Waleed on. I'm going to be sharing at the end of this session a link to a Q&A form that you guys can submit. The questions are going to be around the month of Ramadan. That's the topic specifically, so please keep the questions on topic so that we can make sure they're asked to the Sheikh, and we will be posing them to him tomorrow at 4 p.m. EST, once again live. It'll also be broadcasted on Facebook and YouTube and everywhere else that we are live now, alhamdulillah. That's number one. Number two as well, just as you guys are, inshallah, daily making sure that you're giving some charity and giving as much as you can to those who are hardest hit in our ummah, please make sure that you also remember to support our charity partners who make this experience possible every single year. Once again, we have HHRD in the US, we have Islamic Relief in Canada, and we have Forgotten Women in the UK. They're doing some amazing work on the ground and some of the hardest work to be able to facilitate our charitable funds and to bring them to those who are in most need. So
please do make sure that you are supporting them. If you're on socials, everything is linked in your description. If you're on Zoom, I just dropped the link in the chat here so you guys are able to easily access it, inshallah. And I know Sheikh is waiting patiently, so I can't wait to get started with our Ramadan Reflect session. So Sheikh Saad Taslim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the stream. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, good to be here. I feel like last year was like a month ago where we were doing this last year. It's nice to be back, alhamdulillah.
Sheikh, how black can you make a screen get without disappearing?
Trying to go as black as possible, you know?
Alhamdulillah, it's such a pleasure to have you on. You know, funny enough, for me, it feels like it was a decade ago. It feels like it was been way too long since we got a chance to just come in, have a connection with the community, you know, hear people's voices. It feels like it was forever ago, alhamdulillah. So it's so nice to have you back. It's so nice to kick off our series. Can you please walk us through a little bit of what to expect in Quran Reflect and what the expectations are going to be in the session?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to introduce you a little bit, but if you were here last year, it is a little bit similar to last year. What we're do is every day, and I'm here most of the days, a few days here, we have people even better than me, alhamdulillah. But every day, what we're going to be doing is that we're going to picking a verse or a few verses from the juz, the section, the Quran for the day. So as any of you know, the Quran is section into 30 sections or 30 portions, are called ajza in Arabic or for a singular one. Normally, a lot of masjids around the world, when they are reciting in Taraweeh, they will do one juz or one section of the Quran per night. The idea is that at the end of Ramadan has completed Quran. And my background in this area, subhanAllah, I've been doing Quran reflections for probably a decade now. And it all started with back in the day. I don't know how y'all were on Snapchat, but I was on Snapchat back in the day, and it was as simple as I would pray Taraweeh, and
For just so we don't miss out on any of this. Yes, we're getting echo and some lag all of a sudden. I think it's building up. It's getting a little worse throughout the session. So I don't know if there is some way to switch up the audio device, inshallah, just so we don't miss out on any of the gems in the session.
Okay. I don't know.
And jazakallah khair to everyone in the chat who was helpful enough to mention it. If you guys ever have anything like that happen or technical issues, let us know like you just did. And it's very helpful too. And yeah, there's a little bit of an echo as well, Sheikh. I don't know if that is something that has to do with a separate device.
Is there an echo when you're talking or just when I'm talking?
I think it's when I'm talking, I hear my voice again coming in through your mic.
Okay.
It's both.
My mic is on, and then the sound is... as well, but we haven't had you before.
Yeah, we haven't had any issues before. Okay. Alhamdulillah.
Now let me just double check the audio settings.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be.
Just check your audio input and output, your microphone. Okay. And make sure it's in the right.
How's that? Is that better or is that worse? Worse? Is that
same? I think.
I could use headphones on my side. I don't know. I can try that. You want to try that?
Okay, let's give that a go. Okay. Someone said maybe I can mute. I'll mute for a few seconds, but I don't think it's that. Bismillah. You know me, I don't love AirPods. I don't love Shuk with AirPods on, but we allow it for today, inshallah. All right, bismillah. Let's see. Is this better? Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. I still hear my voice, I think.
Do you hear your voice?
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is anyone else here? I don't think I do. Alhamdulillah. I think we rectified it. Bismillah.
Are we good? Awesome.
Yes.
So I'm gonna have to rock these AirPods. But the microphone's still a regular microphone, like proper microphone. So just so
okay.
So
the microphone is still a little choppy, by the way, in terms of us being with people, really. Yeah. I don't know if it's rubbing against something or it's just rubbing off still.
Yeah. I don't. Bismillah. Yeah, let's see. Let me switch to the pause. I know you don't like AirPods.
Bismillah.
Is that I know the sound quality is not going to be as great, but you might have less echo and stuff.
Yes, okay. There we are. That's the sweet spot. I never thought I'd say this. I think the AirPods are the solution. So
alhamdulillah. I'm always down for AirPods. I prefer no wires. So
I know. Everyone's down for AirPods, but ouch. But alhamdulillah, we can hear you. And now we can hear the gems. Let's jump in. Bismillah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. So as I was saying, my normal practice over the years has been to attend Taraweeh prayer and then try to reflect on the verses as they're being recited. And then normally what I would do is I'd grab my phone, I'd get on Snapchat and be like, yo, what's up, everybody? Here's one particular verse from Taraweeh that I reflected on, and I want to share some reflections with you. So that's the background of this whole thing. So the idea is that we can sit together every day, inshallah, and pick a verse or a few verses from the particular juz that is being recited that night. So today we're going to be covering the juz that will be recited tonight. I know people in the UK, you're like, oh, we already prayed Taraweeh, or maybe you're right there. Sorry about that. But it still works because you might have just heard it. But people in the US and maybe other parts of the world, yeah, mostly just, I guess, the Americas. If you're in the Americas, you haven't attended Taraweeh yet. So this would help in terms of understanding some of the verses that are coming up in tonight's Taraweeh prayer. What's different this year is that we will be covering some principles of tadabbur, or principles of reflection. And what that is that you can think of them as tools. So instead of just reflecting and saying, okay, so what does this verse mean to you, which is important as well, we're also gonna, I'm gonna teach you as we go through the particular verse or verses, I will point out a particular principle of reflection. So it's a tool to help you reflect. This will help you, inshallah, even when you find yourself without someone to guide you through the reflection, when you're on your own, you'll inshallah ta'ala be better able to reflect upon the Quran. So that's what we're doing today, inshallah. Is that cool? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me get started, inshallah. So just quickly, I want to introduce the series and talk a little bit about the importance of reflection. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala. First of all, Ramadan and the Quran, and I know many of us understand this, the importance of the Quran in Ramadan, but it doesn't hurt to mention this, inshallah ta'ala. The Quran and Ramadan go hand in hand. And this is why oftentimes Ramadan is called Shahrul Quran, the month of the Quran. We have many things in the Quran, many verses in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that tell us of the importance of having a relationship with the Quran during the month of Ramadan specifically, also obviously outside of the month of Ramadan as well, but particularly in the month of Ramadan, as we're focusing on increasing our spirituality, as we're working on increasing our God consciousness, our piety, the Quran plays an integral role in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, that the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And immediately now that we find the Quran being mentioned and the month of Ramadan being mentioned in the very same verse should show us that they are very much related and they are part of one, they go hand in hand. And so if we're trying to get the most out of the month of Ramadan, the Quran has to be a part of it. We also learn from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a few different narrations, but in particular, the narration of Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, that she says that in the last year of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that, he told Fatima radiallahu anha, he said that Jibril, the angel Jibril, would revise the Quran with me once every year, but this year he has revised it with me twice. And this is speaking about the month of Ramadan. So now we learn that during Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ would revise the Quran with the angel Jibril, right? So once again, the significance of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Now, oftentimes when we say, okay, you should have a relationship with the Quran, we say, what does that mean? Obviously, it does mean that we recite the Quran. It means that we should try and memorize the Quran. We should act upon the Quran. But one of the aspects of having a relationship with the Quran, which often gets left out because of the nuts and bolts, and what I mean by the nuts and bolts is reading and memorizing, right? Reciting and memorizing. Sometimes there's so much focus on reciting the Quran and memorizing the Quran and so on and so forth, that a very integral aspect of our relationship with the Quran gets left out, and that is tadabbur, reflecting upon the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized the importance of reflecting upon the Quran. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Sad, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayk mubarak, that Allah has sent this blessed book. It has been, Allah says, this is a blessed book which has been revealed to you, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah tells us of one of the purposes of revelation, liyadabbaru ayati, so that you may reflect upon the verses of this book. So when Allah says li, for the purpose of, so if we were to say, why did Allah reveal the Quran? One of the purposes we learn here is so that we reflect upon the Quran. So we got to ask ourselves, if we're not reflecting upon the Quran, if we're not thinking about the Quran, if we're not making it a part of our personal lives, then perhaps we're not fulfilling what we owe to the Quran, and we're not taking full advantage of the Quran. And just one more verse, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, that do they not contemplate or do they not reflect upon the Quran? And this is, and we'll talk about this as one of the principles, but one of the principles of reflecting upon the Quran is to personalize the message of the Quran. So when anytime Allah is speaking, we put ourselves in the position that Allah is speaking to us, right? So that's one of the principles. And we're going to go over this principle again later on, inshallah, as we cover today's verse. So one of the principles of the Quran is always to personalize the message. So when Allah says, and so when Allah is referring to someone in the Quran, we should always ask ourselves, is that me? Could that be me? Is it a problem if it's me, or if it's a problem if it's not me? So in this case, Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, do they not reflect upon the Quran? We should immediately say, is that me? Is Allah talking about me? Do I fall into this category of being someone who is not reflecting upon the Quran? Once again, the principle is personalize the message of the Quran. And then Allah says, أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, or are there locks upon their hearts, or are their hearts locked up? Meaning, are their hearts closed, locked from understanding and contemplating the Quran, right? And so once again, this is personalizing the message, saying, look, we don't want to be those people who come off as being locked, or that our hearts are locked to being penetrated by the Quran, right? We want to be a people who have a living, breathing relationship with the Quran, where we are living the Quran. And that can only happen when, along with reciting and memorizing and so on and so forth, that we are reflecting and thinking about the Quran. So that is the purpose, inshallah, of this whole month, this whole series that we're doing, this Quran Reflect series that we're doing. Two main purposes. Number one, that we can reflect upon the Quran together. We can meet together as a group. We can build that brotherhood and that sisterhood, and come together and share in something which is a very blessed activity, and that is reciting the Quran and reflecting upon the Quran. So number one, so we could do that. Number two, also, so we can learn how to reflect upon the Quran. And as I teach you these principles, as we learn these principles together, and as we apply these principles, inshallah ta'ala, you'll be better able to reflect upon the Quran. And once again, as we're putting into practice, you know, practice makes perfect, as they say. So as you start reflecting upon the Quran, especially if you join me every single day, which is my goal, inshallah, and I don't commit, I'll just be real with you. There's not a lot of things that I commit to every day in my life. Like somebody says, we want you to do this every day. My initial reaction is no. Like I can't commit to something every single day, right? I got too much going on in my life for me to say every single day I'll do something. SubhanAllah, in my local community will even sometimes, you know, they may complain. If you know anybody in Maryland, at Islamic Center of Maryland, they'll say, you know, we don't see him as much. He's not here all the time because I travel and so on and so forth. Once again, I don't commit to things every day. But this is something, when Al-Maghrib approached me and said, are you down to do this every day? This is something I said, you know what? I see value in it. First and foremost, no offense to anybody listening to this. First and foremost, for myself, I see value in this. I know, and I remember from last year that we did this, and inshallah, this is going to be an even better version of this program. I know that this is an iman boost for me. I know it is connecting me with the Quran. I know that even if I'm slacking during my day, like I've had too much going on, I'm busy with preparing other lectures and I'm busy with my kids and this and that, whatever, I know that I've committed to an hour, or maybe a little bit less, but we'll see, inshallah, an hour of reflecting upon the Quran with my brothers and sisters. And so I see personal value in it. So I'm down to do this, inshallah. So that's what I'm offering to you as well, that you are 30 minutes. so that you are here with me, inshallah, we can do this together and we can help one another grow in our faith, inshallah ta'ala. So that's what the program is. As I said earlier, we're going to make it pretty systematic, but we're going to cover one juz, one portion of the Quran every evening, inshallah. And that is the section that most likely is being recited in your local masjid as well. So let's get started for today. Let me present to you today's verse. So we have to cheat a little bit today, and we did this last year as well, because Tarawih actually started last night, because Ramadan starts at the day starts at the night. So people have already recited, if they're praying Tarawih in the masjid, they've already recited the first juz. So what we're going to do today is that even though it's the first of Ramadan, we're going to cover, and it's the night of, tonight will be the night of the second. I hope I'm not confusing you too much there. But right now, as Maghrib comes, when Maghrib comes, we're going to say it's the second of Ramadan will have started. So technically, we're supposed to be doing Juz 2 tonight. And Juz 1 should have been done last night, but obviously we didn't have this program last night. So tonight, or today, we're going to do Juz 1 and 2. We're going to combine it in one. And I picked, one verse from both of those Juz. And then so following on, so tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to be in Juz number 3. And then the next night, we're going to be in Juz number 4. And then we're going to take it one Juz at a time, inshallah ta'ala. So Juz 1 and 2. First of all, let's talk about what verses they cover. And you can write this down in your, if you're taking notes, alhamdulillah, you can write this down to help you keep track. Juz 1, the first section of the Quran, or first portion of the Quran, covers Surah Al-Fatiha, obviously, and Surah Al-Baqarah, but only up till verse 141. That's Juz number 1. Juz number 2, the second portion of the Quran, covers Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 142 to 252. Someone could pop that in the chat for everyone. So whoever's quick in hearing that, and they can type it up real quick, put it in the chat. Do I need to repeat it? Let me know if you need me to repeat that. Yes. Okay. Once again, Juz number 1, Surah Al-Fatiha, all of it. Surah Al-Baqarah from the beginning. So you can say verse 1 until verse 141. Okay. That's Juz number 1. Juz number 2 is Surah Al-Baqarah from verses 142 up till 252. Okay, alhamdulillah. So technically today we're doing from the beginning of the Quran until Baqarah, which is surah number 2, until 252. So I had a lot to pick from today, subhanAllah, a lot to pick from. And honestly, it's hard. And really, as you learn these tools of reflection, inshallah, these principles of reflection, you can reflect on any portion of the Quran. And that's the beauty of the Quran, that every portion of the Quran is blessed and amazing. So we can really, really just reflect on any portion of the Quran. But what I picked for you today is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 245. Once again, that's 245. So Surah number 2, verse number 245. I would like to have someone recite it for us. Do we have a qari in the house? Someone with a someone who would like to recite, inshallah. So once again, it's Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 245. It's not a long verse, so just raise your hand, and then I'm going to have Sister Hafsa pick on someone. Bismillah. Go ahead.
Awesome sauce. I see Dr. Gina, mashallah, racing to the front. So we'll start with our Quran revolution. OG, mashallah, Sister Gina, you'll go right ahead.
I'm a year two now, alhamdulillah.
Mashallah, mashallah. Let's hear that year two recitation.
All right. Oh, of course, I don't have it in front of me. I'm not a Hafiz here. I can pull it up though. I'm
awesome.
I raised my hand. It was like, oh yeah, they're gonna screen share.
No worries at all, mashallah. Running to the front to run towards Khair, mashallah. Amazing. So
in 245.
Yes, 245. So okay. Surah number 2, verse number 245. I'm actually gonna put the link in the chat as well.
Okay, I'm pulling it up on the site right now.
Bismillah. I put in the chat. I don't know if that's clickable. My apologies. It's not.
That's okay. Alhamdulillah. I have it. So, okay. Bismillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Man dhaladhi yuqridu allaha qardan حسنًا فيضاعفه له أضعافًا كثيرة
والله أضعافًا كثيرة أضعافًا
كثيرة
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
continue.
Wallahu yakabidu wa yabadu. I was confused by the scene. Let me try it again. Wallahu yakabidu wa yabadu da wa ilayhi turja'un.
Yabsutu. That's the only small, but okay. Everything other than that. Excellent. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. May Allah bless you and your family and bless your recitation and grant you even more success. Allahumma ameen. Jazakallah khair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Man dhaladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasana fayudha'ifahu lahu adha'afan kathira. Wallahu yaqbidu wa yabsutu wa ilayhi turja'un. Which means, who will lend to Allah a good loan, a qardan hasana, which is a term I'm sure many of you have heard. You know, we hear about the qard hasan, you know, or qardan hasana. You hear people say, I've heard it being called the goodly loan. Goodly loan just sounds weird to me, but if that's your translation, no problem. So I prefer good loan, a good loan. We'll talk about what that means. So Allah says, who will lend to Allah a good loan? فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا, which Allah will multiply many, many times. وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ, it is Allah alone who withholds and grants in abundance. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, and it is to him that you will all be returned. So quickly, I want to go over just the meanings of this, and then I'm going to give you a couple principles where we can get into reflecting, and then I'll hear some of your reflections, inshallah ta'ala, as well. So first of all, Allah says, who will lend to Allah a good loan, a qardan hasana? What does qardan hasana mean? What does qardan hasana mean? What does a good loan to Allah mean? What this is referring to is charity. What is referring to is giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though the main meaning of this is financial, right? It's financial charity that we give for the sake of Allah. It can also be, the meaning can be expanded to anything that is given for the sake of Allah. So even if it is one's time, one's effort, if it is anything given in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this can be considered a qardan hasana, a good loan. And along with that, even we have evidence to say that when a person worships Allah, that can also be considered a qardan hasana because it is an effort that is being put into something purely for the sake of Allah. So hopefully that's clear, right? So a qard hasan, a good loan, is what one gives for the sake of Allah, right? Now, for something to be considered a qard hasan, a good loan, four conditions have to be met. Y'all ready for this? Four conditions? Yes? All right. Number one, what you're giving has to be something which is in line with the Sharia, meaning it has to be something which is considered good in the Sharia. It has to be something which is considered good in Islam. So so if we're talking about financially, a person cannot give financially from a haram or an impermissible source. So if someone is giving from their money, from their wealth, that money should be the type of money which is earned in a halal way, in a permissible way, in a good way. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna Allah tayyib," that certainly Allah is good, Allah is pure. "La yaqbalu illa tayyiba," that he accepts only that which is good, right? So Allah is good, Allah is pure, so Allah accepts only that which is good. So it has to be something which is good, right? Something which is not haram in any way or doesn't have a haram source. Second condition is that it has to be given purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning our intention is to earn the pleasure of Allah. Our intention is to worship Allah. Our intention is for the sake of Allah. If it is given for other than the sake of Allah, then it is not considered a qardan hasana, a pure or a good loan. So if someone is doing it, let's say to show off or to earn praise from people or to be liked by people, then this would not be considered a qardan hasana. Number three is that it should be given in the correct place, meaning it should be given in a cause that is beloved or pleasing to Allah. So if someone, let's say, donates to, I don't know, like a casino or something, right? Where gambling and other problems are happening there, that is not considered a qard hasan. Even if it, someone says, I'm giving it for the sake of Allah, which is, I know, kind of weird, but let's say someone says, you know, my intention is good, right? I wanna help the employees at a casino. And so I'm gonna give to the casino. Well, it's not being given in a place that is good, and it's not being given to a good cause. So number three, as we said, has to be given in a correct place, a place or a cause that is beloved to or pleasing to Allah. Number four is that one is pleased that they are giving. And perhaps this may be, perhaps, depending on, you know, who you are, this may be the more challenging of the four conditions. Meaning, what this means is that a person should not feel that this is a penalty from Allah, right? So if we're talking about the zakah, which is obligatory, when we're giving our zakah, if it's to be considered a good loan, a qard hasan, then it cannot be something that we feel that is a burden upon us. Because we know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislates something, it is for our own benefit, first and foremost. And so when we give, we should not feel like it is a burden. So I want to compare zakah to, I don't know, tax. And I don't know how many people here live in the United States, but let me know if you live in the United States. Tax season just passed, and we all know how we feel about tax season. And nobody looks forward to it, right? It's like, man, why do I got to give tax either? Well, actually, I guess some people are getting tax returns, so they may be happy about that. Depending on what type, and I don't want to get into like tax law right now. I'm not an expert anyway. But for example, I work as a, I don't know, this is giving away too much information, but I work as a private contractor. So I don't give, like, when I get a payment from, let's say, I don't know, Al-Maghrib maybe, or someone else, there's no taxes taken out, right? And so I basically have to fill out my taxes at the end of the year, and I have to owe all of my taxes. And I'll tell you, I don't enjoy that, right? Because it's like, I gotta give, right? However, zakah, we understand, is a spiritual matter, right? So when we give zakah, we understand zakah is first and foremost, it's a purification for our wealth, right? We know that Allah puts barakah in our wealth through zakah. We also understand that it purifies us in terms of our spirituality. It brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should always feel relieved, right? That we are giving what is owed on this, and we don't feel like it is a burden in order for it to be considered a qard hasan. Another example I have of this is, you know, when you spend on your family, and I wrote down, subhanAllah, when I was writing down my notes and reflecting upon this, I said, you know, how do you feel when you give to your family? And my assumption was you feel great. So hopefully I'm going out and giving everyone the benefit of the doubt. Hopefully you feel great when you spend on your family. And my question was, why do you feel great when you spend on your family? Because you know you love your family, right? And you know it's for a good cause, and it makes you feel good because there's that level of love there. So with Allah, that should be even more. We love Allah, and we are giving it, subhanAllah, in a cause that is beloved to us. So we shouldn't feel like it is a burden. In Surah Al-Muzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, similar wording, the qard is mentioned, وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, and give to Allah a good loan or a goodly loan. And then Allah says, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that whatever you give for yourselves, right? So the whole idea is, even when we are giving for the sake of Allah, or we're giving to someone who is in need, in the end of the day, we are the we benefit from it, right? Because in the end of the day, we are giving towards our spirituality, and we're giving to get close to Allah. And Allah says, "Tajiduhu indallah," you will find it with Allah, right? And we'll talk about the significance of using the word alone and so on and so forth. But once again, we give freely and openly without it feeling like a burden. And look, I also want to mention here that this can be a process, right? It's something that we should work towards. So if we feel a burden when we give, don't get disheartened and say, oh, this is not a qalb hasan. We should say, okay, this is something I need to struggle with, I need to work with to improve myself, to give in a way that I understand that it is for my benefit and it brings me closer to Allah, and that process of spiritual purification. Okay, so that those are the four conditions, and I saw in the chat that someone had put them, so you can very easily put them in your notes. So Allah says, who will give to Allah a qard hasan? As we said, it has to fulfill all of those conditions for it to be considered a qard hasan. Allah says, فَيُضَاعِفَ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا, that when you give to Allah, meaning this qard hasan is given to Allah, then it Allah will multiply it. وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ, Allah will withhold it. Allah withholds, وَيَبْسُطُ, and Allah gives freely to whoever He wills, and this happens. Allah can do this, right? This is for Allah to withhold and to give. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, and you will be returned to Him. Okay, now that you understand that verse, inshallah ta'ala, let's talk about some reflection here. Number one, the first principle of reflection that I want you to think about, and to me, honestly, this is the most important principle of reflection. So if you don't remember anything from these principles, the one principle that I'd like for you to hold on to is what I mentioned earlier in today's session, and that is personalize the message, right? Personalize the message, that remember or try to think to yourself that Allah is speaking to you personally. And this is very important for us, subhanAllah, because we live in an environment today, we live in a world today where everybody's pointing fingers at everybody, right? We see any type of goodness, whatever, we immediately think of everybody else. So we hear a khutbah about, let's say, backbiting, and we immediately think about, you know, that person I know backbites, and that person backbites, and that's how everyone's wrong, and this, that. And we don't think about ourselves. We criticize everybody else, and we don't criticize ourselves. This principle teaches us that we first and foremost, we think about ourselves, right? That Allah is speaking to me personally, meaning Allah is addressing you. And so when we say qardan hasan, right? Who will give this good loan? We think about ourselves. Now, I want you to share with me how this verse could be applied to you, meaning how could you personally bring this verse into your life, right? So when it comes to giving for the sake of Allah, when Allah is saying, who will give a good loan, right? What does that mean to you on an individual, on a personal level? I'll let you think about that. And we're gonna open the floor. You can raise your hand, and Sister Hafsa will handle it, inshallah. Raise your hand, she'll call on you, and let's see what you have to say. So on a personal level, what does it mean when Allah is asking you who will give a good loan or a goodly loan? Bismillah.
Beautiful. I see where that jumping to the forefront already. Just a quick reminder before we jump into reflections, we have about 10-15 minutes to go, so we'll keep them kind of concise just to make sure that it's beneficial for every single person and as many people as possible get a chance to share. Please keep your reflections concise, maximum about 2 minutes, give or take, so that we can get as many people reflecting as possible, inshallah, and we can hear your voices. Ridha will give you the mic first, inshallah, and then anybody else who does want to reflect as well, please raise your hand on Zoom. I see Umar has done that as well, and you will pop up to the top of the line. We'll take everybody in order, inshallah. Ridha, bismillah, let's hear your reflection.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi. So I just wanted to say that when I think about it, you know, maybe like for me personally, I think it's like when somebody is in line, you know, maybe like at a shop or like, you know, at a grocery store or something, and maybe they don't have enough money, or, you know, something might come up, and then, yeah, you know, just paying it forward kind of thing, or paying it back, I guess that's like how it kind of goes.
Yeah.
I think when I think of this verse, it's like, you know, sometimes we think that, oh my God, like, enough, if I pay for somebody, then I'm not going to have enough for myself. But then,
yeah,
we're remembering the fact that our wealth comes from Allah. So initially we're going to be paid back in full and maybe even more, right? It all goes Absolutely. Back to your intention as to who you're doing it for, what you're doing, and why you're doing it.
Awesome. Jazakallah khair. That was perfect. Alhamdulillah. Personal example. Maybe let's hear maybe one or two more, or at least one more, inshallah, where a personal example of how this would apply to you. Bismillah.
Alrighty, next in line, I see Sonia. We lost you, Umar. So Sonia, we'll let you reflect first, inshallah, and then we'll go back to Umar. Sonia, you're welcome to unmute yourself, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So I felt like this happened to me recently. Sorry, I'm from UK, so the accent, you're going to have to bear with me. So often we spend a lot of time teaching our children and you think they're actually getting nothing. I'll spend a lot of time teaching Hadith and Quran and so on and so forth. And last week, my 12-year-old, he came home and he said, "Mama, these flowers are for you." And I said, "Where did you get them from?" And he said, "Mom, I saw an old woman carrying things into her car. And so I decided to help her." So she was so happy with me that she gifted me the flowers for my kind gesture. And I thought, alhamdulillah, finally, you know, the essence of the things that we do, sometimes it does come about sooner rather than later. Sometimes we might not see it, but our effort will definitely not be wasted, inshallah. You know, with our awlad, we just have to keep praying and trying. So it was nice to see that, you know, whatever we teach them, they are implementing and carrying it on. So yeah, I suppose that's an example for me.
Alhamdulillah. That's a beautiful example. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. Okay, so this is something that I want you to continue to think about, because we're going to be applying this principle throughout this month, where I'm going to ask you, okay, if Allah is speaking to you with this verse, what does that mean to you? So that's our first principle for today. Second principle is an interesting one, inshallah. And that principle is basically, and I'll explain it, but so before you get worried, the second principle is be curious, okay? So ask why. So let me tell you about a few things that we can ask about in regarding this verse. We can look at the words, right? Why did Allah use this particular word or wording or expression versus another wording? So first of all, this charity that is mentioned in this verse, Allah didn't call it sadaqah, Allah didn't call it zakah, Allah called it a loan, right? A good loan, but a loan. So what does a loan have to do with charity, right? So I want you to think about that. What is the significance of the word loan? So, and you can think about yourself, like, what is special about a loan that would apply in this case? So it's going to require you to think a little bit. What is the significance of calling it a loan? Bismillah. Raise your hand. We got a couple hands, right? Bismillah. I see in the chat as well. I see some good answers in the chat as well. Sister Hafsa, you want to call on someone?
Yes, I was like waiting. Mashallah, lots of people put their hands up. Let's hear from, I saw Yvette Hazard had her hand up earlier as well. So let's, you were technically next in line. Yvette, let us hear from you, inshallah.
Okay,
sound
like I was thinking it means like if you get a loan, then you're in debt to someone. Mm. So it's almost mm-hmm. like I would be in debt to Allah, and then to me, that would be the best way to be in debt to Allah, because the repayment from Allah is going to be better than any repayment from anybody that can ever owe. And that's
absolutely it. Absolutely. That's a beautiful thing, right? So like giving a loan to, and I often think about this, right? If you give a loan to someone, right? So that main idea here is that it is something that will be returned, right? So number one, you're not losing it. Right. And as we know, the Prophet, he mentioned the hadith. We hear fundraisers all the time. Charity does not decrease from wealth, rather it increases it, right? That charity will never make you have less wealth. It'll actually, if anything, it'll do the opposite, it'll increase you in wealth. The Prophet told us this, guaranteed this to us. It will always be returned. And how does Allah return? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. So if you were to give like a person a loan, right? How would they give it back to you? Well, they might delay it. They may, you know, give you their runaround. They may make you work for it. They may even like, you know, pay you and then like hold it over you. Like, you know, I gave you your money or whatever it is, right? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is the repayment in the most amazing way. In a way that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that it will be multiplied. And we hear actually in Surah Al-Baqarah an example of this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبَعَ سَنَابِلْ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. And this verse is used as an evidence to say that the very least that our spending the very least it will be multiplied is 700 times. Because in this verse, Allah says the example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is that of a grain that sprouts into seven ears, right? This, I believe, is speaking about corn, but thing is, the idea is one seed, and then you get seven, and then each one bearing 100 grains, right? So the whole idea is that one grain is planted, and we get 700 reward from that. And so our scholars say this is the very least. The very least is that we will receive 700 times what we gave. So beautiful, excellent, right? So exactly, it'll be returned in the best possible. What else? What else is? What else can we think about when it comes to the wording of a loan? What does that mean for us? What is the significance of using the word loan? Bismillah. Go ahead and raise your hand. And Sister Hafsa, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw Suhaila had her hand up as well earlier. So Suhaila, we want to hear from you. Bismillah, let us have you unmute and jump in.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So for me, I think it changes the way that I give, in that I used to give from the smallest change. Yeah. And then when I learned about this concept, I wanted to give more. Because I don't want Allah to give me from the leftovers. I would love Allah to give me from what I love. So there was one point in time, somebody said something and I thought that was beautiful. Allah loves when you give from that which you love, and He will give from that which He loves. And so I like that concept, and it helps change the way that we give, inshallah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is why even when we give charity, by the way, when we like donate, and you know, there's like a call for, okay, give to refugees and so on and so forth. Sometimes we give from, you know, unfortunately, we give from our leftovers, or we think things that we don't need and so on and so forth. We're actually supposed to give from, you know, shara'an is supposed to be the things that we use for ourselves, right? And usually scholars say like in the middle, it doesn't have to be like our best things. But it should not be our worst things. It should be things that we like for ourselves, kind of in the middle category. But once again, as the sister said, like if this is a loan that we're getting back, and we're going to get back even better than it, then whatever you give, al-jaza'u min jinsi al-amal, you know, the what you give is what you'll get back, or you'll receive it back in a similar vein or similar fashion. It's what we want to give the best of what we have, right? Because we want the best. And so that changes the way we think about that. Very good. Okay, another when we're talking about be curious, here's another thing to be curious about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wallahu yaqbidu wa yabsut, that Allah withholds and grants with that it is Allah alone who can withhold, and Allah alone who grants with abundance. Now, the wording here, it's very, very interesting. Allah says, yaqbid, which comes from qabada, which means actually to grasp or to hold on to something, right? And so for translations, you'll often hear it's been mentioned that Allah, you know, withholds from whoever He wills. Wa yabsutu, yabsutu is to extend and to open up, right? So that wording there that Allah has used, and there is an indication of, you know, on a human level, we would think like, okay, I would hold my, and I don't want to kind of, you know, give away my reflection here because I want you to reflect as well. But when you hold something in your hand versus the way you open your hand and you give, okay. So what is the significance of that wording where Allah says yaqbid, you know, to, it means withhold, and yabsut, which is to let go and to open up. So what does that mean to you? Bismillah. Bismillah.
I see a couple hands over here a little earlier, but I think Sugufta was the second to ask to put it up, just to be safe to make sure it was for this question. Sugufta, I am going to ask you to unmute and you can share a reflection.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So when I think of Allah withholding things from me, because you know, it means that he's just waiting for me to open up, for me to like open my heart, open my mind to Him, just come to Him so He can give me what He's withholding, the blessings, the mercy. So that's what it means to me. Because a lot of times, you know, with all the life situation and everything, we get lost in just the worldly aspects of things, that we forget that there is a greater someone that we have to go to anyways. So when I think of that he's withholding, I think about like I need to turn to him one day or another, and then that he has so many rewards for me that he's withholding, that he's going to open up and bless me and when I ask him. Inshallah, absolutely.
Jazakallah khair. Good reflection there, that the idea is that if something is withheld, it's like you're holding it back. There's so much to give, and we know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. It's just a matter of are we doing our part, right, to earn that, earn. And subhanAllah, the reality is we already have so much that Allah has given to us without us actually doing anything. Now imagine with all the blessings that we have, that when Allah blesses our wealth or blesses our lives, how much more can we get, right? So that's amazing. Jazakallah khair. Anyone else? Bismillah.
I saw Princess Marihan from Egypt. So let's right, definitely get her on the mic, inshallah. Bismillah. Let me have you unmute and let's hear your reflection.
Okay, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Well, I have 2 points for if I have a minute. First of all, I have a reflection on the methodology or the method Allah used to us convey the message, like he's saying, if you want to loan me, God doesn't want us to loan us. Like, I mean, he is so superior. He's trying to come closer to us. He's trying to evoke sympathy and empathy. You know what I mean? It's so
are you saying that Allah is giving us a concept that we understand on a human level? Is that what you
yes,
mean?
Exactly. He doesn't need a loan from
Very
us.
Good.
At all.
Absolutely. Because absolutely.
I came across this ayat.
No.
Yeah.
Very good.
Sorry.
Very good.
Yeah.
No, good. Good. What's your second reflection?
Second reflection on your question. well, you know, yabsut wa yaqbid. It's I have 2 reflections on that. First one, it may be he knows what's best for us. وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم. So he knows maybe okay. if he gave us a lot of money, ممكن نبغي في الأرض, like do a lot of bad things. And maybe if he gave yeah. a lot of, he came a short of money, we will be more needed to him and we will reflect in our actions and be even better. So it's like he gave us 2 options that the good thing for us maybe يقبض أو يبسط. This is my first reflection, الله أعلم. And the second yeah. one is there was another ayah, أَفَحَسَبَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ يَتْرُكُوا وَهُمْ لَيَفْتُنُونَ, if I'm not mistaken. So it may be. Yeah, exactly that one. So maybe he is just giving us another test through money.
Exactly.
So
very good. Jazakallah khair. That is Jameel. MashaAllah. Thank you so much. Beautiful reflection. If you didn't catch that, right, that was awesome. That's why I love these reflection circles, because we get to hear like these reflections can be so amazing and can add a layer that only a lived life can really add to this, right? Because the Quran is a living book, right? We it's part of our lives, right? And so this alhamdulillah. So have you thought about how Allah withholding from you can be a blessing, right? How amazing is that? That maybe Allah had given to us because look, Allah is in charge. Allah is the one who is in control, and Allah knows us and Allah knows what's best for us. So Allah with yaqbid, Allah holds on, Allah withholds, wa yabsut. And so this is in the power of Allah. And so that is our level of devotion and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even when Allah is withholding, we are pleased. Alhamdulillah, beautiful reflection. Last point for this verse, inshallah, that I want you to think about the significance of the phrase wa ilayhi turja'un, that to him you will return. Why is returning to Allah mentioned in this at the end of this verse? What does that have to do with the subject that we're talking about, right? So once again, I'm gonna just mention the verse again. Allah says, who will give to Allah a good loan, which Allah will multiply many times over. Allah, it is Allah alone who withholds and gives, or gives with abundance, and in the end you will return to Allah. What is the significance of that? Why did Allah pick that to be the end of the verse? Bismillah.
You guys are on a roll, mashallah. I've seen Pinar's hand up a couple of times, so we definitely have to hear from you, Pinar, inshallah. Please do unmute yourself and share your reflection.
Assalamu alaikum. I hope you guys can hear me.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Yes, alhamdulillah.
So the last line, the last verse, and to him you will return. So in my opinion, how I perceive that is that these things mentioned, the loan and giving to Allah, but in reality, you're saving up and you're growing your account in the akhirah. And so I feel that the last verse was just to kind of, you know, summarize and to bring it all together, that everything that was just mentioned is in reality, like, this is everything that's going to benefit you in the akhirah, because in the end you will return to Allah, and that's what will be waiting for you, what you put in the dunya.
Absolutely. And that's put in a very beautiful way, alhamdulillah. I have some thoughts, but I want to hear from you, inshallah. I'm going to hear from a few other people, maybe one or two. I know we're almost out of time, or we are out of time, but maybe two more people, let's say, bismillah. If you keep it short, maybe we'll get two people in. Bismillah.
Inshallah. All right. I see Nishida from Houston. I wonder if this is my Nishida. Let's hear from you and feel free to unmute. Oh, it is my Nishida. All right. Go ahead. Bismillah. No.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. So whenever we give loan, we are scared that the person is going to run away. This thing seals the deal that you are not going nowhere. You're going to him, and hence you will get it. So it's kind of like an absolute assurance that definitely there's no, you will return to him and he will give you back the loan. So it's just very comforting.
Very good. So tying it into the wording of the loan, that's beautiful. Alhamdulillah. See, look how you guys are already getting so good at reflecting upon the Quran, alhamdulillah. That makes me feel good, alhamdulillah. But beautiful point, right? So the loan, as a sister said, like when we give it to another person, we're like, I don't know if I'm going to get this back, right? Or what is the assurance that I get? But Allah is assuring us that your return is to him. And really, at the end of the day, that is what, this is our aqeed. This is what everything is about. The importance of returning to Allah, and it is to refocus, right? So when it comes to giving, what this verse is talking about, giving for the sake of Allah, is that we put everything, the verse ends with wa ilayhi turja'un, that remember, every the most important thing is the akhirah. Whatever happens in this life, you may give money, subhanallah, and you may think I've lost or this and that, whatever, but remember that you are returning to Allah, right? So alhamdulillah, beautiful. Last reflection on the significance of wa ilayhi turja'un, that you will return to him, or to him alone you will return. No.
Bismillah. I see Fasiha coming in from my ends from Saudi Arabia. So let's hear from you, Fasiha, inshallah. Oh, there's so many names I'd like to pick on, but let's try to be in order. All right, Fasiha, feel free to unmute yourself and share your reflection.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, what I learned from this is that, you know, sometimes we tend to forget the things that Allah has, you know, he has told us, right, that he's gonna give us something. So we tend to only think about the things that is in this dunya. Like sometimes we'll be, you know, a little unsatisfied with the things that we got from Allah. Like, you know, there might be some disappointments, there might be some bad news, there might be something, like, you know, simplest example would be, you know, failing in an exam which you you know, you studied, worked hard. So but, you know, the all of this tying back to this, like, we're going back to him. So this is like a reminder that, you know, no matter how disappointed you are in this dunya, you're gonna get everything in the akhirah, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. That was he said wonderfully, alhamdulillah. I'm glad that was the last reflection of the day. Wallahi, I wish we could do this for the next couple hours, because as I said, once you get into the habit and it would become of reflecting upon the Quran, it's almost intoxicating, to be honest, right? It almost, like, you want to read more, you want to recite more and more of the Quran and start to think deeply about the Quran. I will say this though, as a disclaimer, inshallah ta'ala, one of the conditions of reflecting upon the Quran is first understanding what Allah is saying. So it's not for us to make up our own meanings and our own interpretations and so on and so forth. We have to be very clear about what is being said. So if you speak Arabic, alhamdulillah, understanding the Arabic. If you don't speak Arabic, looking up a translation, looking up the meanings, looking up the tafsir of it. Once we are confident in the meaning, then we can start to reflect upon those verses. And that's why I do spend the first section of these reflection circles really explaining the verse, so that we don't interpret it in a way that is not basically the message that is being delivered to us. So I'm not asking anyone to make tafsir here. We don't make tafsir. We leave that to the scholars and the whole science of making tafsir. But once we understand, we have a good understanding of the verse, we can now begin to do tadabbur and contemplate the verses. So Jazakumullahu khairah to everyone who attended. I had a great time, alhamdulillah. Hope you had a good time as well. I'll be back tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala, at the same time. And we'll be in Juz number 3, and we will select another verse. And as I said, I hope you keep this going, and I hope this becomes a practice for you during Ramadan and outside of Ramadan as well. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khairan.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh, for an amazing first Quran Reflect session for Ramadan 360. Inshallah, we'll see you same time, same place. We won't keep you for too much longer, but I do have some housekeeping to do right at the end here, inshallah. So we'll catch you tomorrow. Sheikh, how many sessions do we have this week? How many sessions do we have each week? Just so we know exactly what to expect with you and then with our guest speakers.
So I am on Monday through Thursday. Awesome. But because Ramadan just started, I'm like, I'll take the first two days. Okay. So I'm here today, tomorrow. And then I take a 1 day break, but Sheikh Waleed is going to be here. Who's
Alhamdulillah.
Sheikh Waleed. And I believe Sheikh Waleed will recite for you. And I personally love his recitation. My recitation is not great. No. So I don't recite for you, but Sheikh Waleed, if he doesn't recite, let him know.
Where's him to make
him. No, be like, Saad Taslim was here. He said that you're going to recite. Promise. So recite for us, inshallah.
Beautiful. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We'll see you very shortly. Thank you so much for starting off our Ramadan on the right foot. Inshallah, see you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alrighty, bismillah. Some really quick housekeeping. Jazakallah khair for an amazing start to our Ramadan. I was trying not to freak out with some of the familiar names that I saw faces, mashallah, from last year's Ramadan 360. We're still missing some people, so make sure that you message those who you don't see here so that we can have them as part of our daily experience. This was day number one. We are going to be here with you for 30 days, inshallah. So try to make us part of your consistent daily routine. If you miss anything, alhamdulillah, the recordings are going to be available on your student portals, and they're available there for lifetime access. So you guys are set. If you joined through ramadan360.org and registered for the free course, then you're set. If you're coming in from social medias and you don't want to miss out on any of the updates, and you may not make every session, that's okay. Make sure that you do register. Go to ramadan360.org so you have the binder, you have the Telegram link, and you get to be part of the Zoom community as well. Inshallah, the registration is going to be open, and it's still open right now, alhamdulillah. So make sure you head over there right now. For those of you who are online here, make sure that you also go over to the Telegram group. I saw someone awesome mentioning in the chat that they want to share their notes. Please share your notes. So drop that into the Telegram group. Any notes, gems, anything that you benefited from, we would love to hear and see there, inshallah, as well. It's linked on your student portal right above the welcome video. That is where you can find the direct link, inshallah, and it's going to be in your reminder emails every day as well, inshallah ta'ala. Couple quick points. Once again, I really want to thank the amazing, amazing, amazing partners that we have for this month who make these experiences possible. So a shout out to HHRD in the USA, Islamic Relief in Canada, and Forgotten Women in the UK. Please make sure that you're consistently, every time you hear a little bit of a reminder, supporting them, inshallah, and making this part of your consistent daily Ramadan routine as well. Tomorrow, we are going to be back same time, same place, inshallah, with Sheikh Abdur Nasser Jangda on the topic, He Appointed a King. I'm very excited for that. But before that session kicks off, we have our fatwa night with Sheikh Waleed Bisyuni at 4 p.m. EST. We're going to drop the Q&A form link, actually, in the Telegram group and in your reminder email. So please collate your questions. Make sure you submit one question at a time. Keep them concise, keep them focused, and make them on the topic of Ramadan. These are always really big events. So if you have people who are asking you or messaging you questions, what do I do about this? And I didn't do my zakah, and I didn't do, you know, that panic that starts in the beginning of Ramadan, make sure you have them attend the fatwa night tomorrow at 4 p.m. And that's going to be across our social medias as well. But the direct Q&A link is going to be available for those who are registered and who are on Telegram and all that fun stuff as well. I think that is pretty much it for our first day. Please make sure you're joining us consistently as best as possible. And thank you so much for your lovely smiles, your faces, those who've been on screen. We'd love to see more of you, inshallah, through the Zoom experience. And please do join us a few minutes early tomorrow as we kick off our session at 4 p.m. with Sheikh Waleed. We'll see you very soon. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. And assalamu alaikum.